What I typically like to do is, in honor of the Lail Seder, I would like to start out with the Arba Kushios, the four questions. These will be our four questions that we will begin our Seder with tonight. Now, over COVID, we still are in COVID, though we're not necessarily in the height of COVID. We were always looking for ways to be mekatzer, to abbreviate our tefillos. We tried to limit exposure to one another. And therefore, we were looking for things to do to abbreviate, to take out, to remove, so we can daven and leave. So perhaps we could suggest the same idea by Lail Seder as well. It's a long night. There are many mitzvos and a large, big story that has to be told. So just maybe we could abbreviate Magid by taking out a stanza that seems to be extraneous. After all, the stanza, Bechol dor vador chayiv adam liros es atzmo ki ilu hu yotza mimitzrayim. In every generation, we have to view ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim. Is extraneous. It's not necessary because we have Avodim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, that Paro had enslaved us in Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out. V'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take us out from Mitzrayim, we, our children, our grandchildren, would still be enslaved to Paro in Mitzrayim. That's Bechol Dor Vador. In every generation, we have to view ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim, meaning Hashem did take us out. If he didn't take us out, then we would not be indebted to Hashem. But since he did take us out, we are indebted. So all we need is Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. If you did not take us out, we would be enslaved to Paro. But because you did take us out, L'Fikach, therefore, Anachnu Chayavim L'Hodos L'Halel. We're obligated to give gratitude and thanks to Hashem. Bechol Dor Vador seems to be extraneous, not necessary. Simply have we were enslaved to Paro, he took us out, and now we give gratitude and thanks to Hashem. That's our first question. The introduction to Magid begins with us coming together and singing Holach Ma'anya Di'acholu Avasanya Ba'ara Di Mitzrayim, that this is the poor man's bread that our fathers ate in Mitzrayim. However, the minog of the Svaradim, the custom among the Svaradim, is that they actually begin with three words before Holach Ma'anya. And this is the girsa of the Rambam as well. Bibhilu Yotzanu Mi Mitzrayim, in a haste, we left Mitzrayim, Holach Ma'anya. What's the logic? What's the rationale? What's the svara of the Rambam? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explains Dahariba Matzah Yesh Eshnei Hayinyanim, that Matzah has two aspects, two different aspects. On one hand, it represents Lechem Shel Ha'inoi, bread of affliction, V'koshi Hashibud, and our slavery, our bondage. It was the poor man's bread. And on the other extreme, Hamatzah Higam Kein Simen Legula, it also is a sign of redemption. As we know that the bread did not have time to rise because Klal Yisrael left in a haste. And therefore, we come and we introduce Matzah first by saying, Bibhilu Yotzanu Mimitzrayim, we left in a haste. Holach Ma'anya, this is the poor man's bread. It also represents Lechem Oni. It makes perfect sense. So my question is, if it makes so much sense, why do we, the Ashkenazim, also begin with Bibhilu, Yotzanu, Mimitzrayim, we left in haste? It seems like we're leaving out a crucial aspect of what the matzah represents. We're only telling over half the story. Half the story is that it's a poor man's bread. This is what we ate when we were afflicted, when we were punished and persecuted by the Egyptians. But we're leaving out the notion of that we left in a haste. That represents chayrus. It represents freedom. It seems like the Svardim have it correct. They're telling over the true, authentic story, while the Ashkenazim are only telling over a partial story, half the story. We're only beginning with Holach Ma'anya and not Bibhilu Yatano Minitraim. That is our second question. The Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam compiled a book as to how he understands the 613 mitzvos. One of the mitzvos, mitzvah 157, is that we're commanded to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 15th of Nisan, Leil Seder. Though the Rambam does not include in his Minyan HaMitzvos the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaRambam counts Rak Mitzvah Sipur, the night of the 15th, but the mitzvah of Zechira, the mitzvah to remember that we left Mitzrayim, Shebechol Hashana Lomona B'Minyan HaTaryag, is not included in the Minyan HaMitzvos. After Gam HaRambam, even though the Rambam himself in Perek Aleph in Hilchos Kriyat Shema Halacha Gimel writes that it's a mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim day and night, as it says, L'man Tizkor Es Yom Seischa, that you shall remember the day that we left Mitzrayim all the days of your life. So clearly the Rambam admits, he understands that it is a mitzvah. Nonetheless, he does not include it in his Taryag mitzvos. There are two distinct, disparate halachos or mitzvos. One is the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember what happened when we left Mitzrayim, and that's what we do twice a day, every day. L'man Tizkor Es Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. And that the Rambam does not include in his book of mitzvos. But then there's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to tell over the story, to question, answer, go into the depths of the story, explain how it happened. That the Rambam includes in his Minyan HaMitzvos, that's what we do Leil Seder, the night of the 15th. Well, then how do we understand the statement that we recite in our Haggadah that we all are familiar with? Why do we recite, Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah? Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says, Hare ani kaven shivim shana, I'm like a 70-year-old, velozachisi shetoemer Yetzias Mitzrayim balelos, I did not merit to say Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus of Egypt, at night, ad shedrasha ben Zoma, until the explanation of ben Zoma, who says, l'man tizkor es yom seischa me'eretz Mitzrayim, again, using the pasuk that teaches us the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema every single day, twice a day, Yizecher Yetzias Mitzrayim l'man tizkor es yom seischa me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. What is this doing in our Seder? This pasuk of remembering the day we left Mitzrayim has nothing to do at all with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't belong at our Seder. This is what we do every single day, a totally different mitzvah than telling over the story the way we tell it over. Question, answer. Matzchil beginosu Messiah Meshevach. We begin with something bad, we end something good. Sipur is a totally, to tell over the story, is a totally different mitzvah. Nothing to do with the mitzvah, the pasuk of Levan Tizkor, Yom Seischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So then why are we including the statement of Rav Elazar ben Azariah that I was 70 years old and I didn't merit to say over Yetzias Mitzrayim at night until the explanation of Ben Zoma, who understands that pasuk to mean Kol Yimei Chayecha means Yamim Velelos as well? What is it doing in our Seder night? It doesn't belong. The Rambam himself doesn't include it in the Minyan HaMitzvos, and he makes a distinction between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sipur. That's our third and final question. Our third question. And now we have our fourth and final question. The Rambam in Hilchos Chometz Umatzah Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph explains what the nature of our mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is on the night of Seder. He says it's a mitzvah, so I say it's a positive commandment, lesaper benisim v'niflos, to tell over the wonders and the miracles that were done for our fathers in Mitzrayim the night of the 15th. So then the Rambam continues and tells us ketzad. So how does one fulfill the mitzvah the way the Rambam established that the mitzvah should be done? So he writes, Im haya katan o tipesh, if the child is a minor or a fool, you tell him, Bini, my son, kulanu hayinu avadim, we were all avadim, we were all enslaved, like a shivchazu or eved zeh, b'mitzrayim ubalaylo hazeh, on that night, pada osanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us and took us out to freedom. And then the Rambam continues, but if he's a ben gadol v'chacham, so you tell him, Mashi'ira lanu b'mitzrayim, v'nisim, shenasu lanu ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. We tell him all of the miracles and the wonders, and the dam, and the tzvardeya, and the kiniv, and the makas b'choros. All the wonderful miracles that had happened that brought Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, that you tell over to that child. Seems like the Rambam is contradicting himself. According to the way the Rambam understands the way that one fulfills his obligation, the way he is mekayim, the mitzvah of Sipur Yesias Mitzrayim, it has to be done with all the pomp. And you have to tell him all the miracles. And if not, you're not Mekayim, you're not fulfilling your mitzvah to telling over the story. It seems to be the way the Rambam is suggesting you tell over what happened to the Katan or Tipesh, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. All you tell him is that on this night, Hashem redeemed us and we went out to freedom. You're not Mekayim the mitzvah like that. You have to tell him that you wouldn't believe it. The Jewish water, they can drink. The Mitzrayim blood. Makas Bechoros. Oh my gosh. The most amazing, incredible things happened during Makas Bechoros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over the Jewish homes, killed all the firstborns of the Egyptians. Choshech. Jews were able to see, able to go, do what they needed to do. The Egyptians, it was a thick darkness. Such great, unbelievable miracles. So why? Why does the Rambam suggest telling over to a katan in a way that there is no kiyum ha-mitzvah, there's no fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yesias Mitzrayim? It can't read like the Megillah on Purim. The Megillah on Purim also tells us that the Jewish people were spared. But there's no mention of any miracles per se. It seems to be random events. The way the Rambam is suggesting we tell over the story to a katan, God took us out. Pyro decided to wake up one morning like Achashverosh did. He couldn't sleep. He's like, you know what? Okay, Jews, you're free to go. That's not Nisim v'Niflos. And according to the Rambam, mitzvos asei shel Torah. It's a positive biblical commandment to tell over b'nisim v'Niflos with the wonders and the miracles. And if not, you are not fulfilling the mitzvah. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz suggests that the night of Seder is a night of great importance, of great significance. And therefore, it behooves the Mesaper. It's necessary for the one to tell over the story, to tell it over in such a way that it will resonate and it will stir the hearts and the minds and the souls of their children, of his child. It has to be done with great seichel, in a way that it will stir emotion with this child. Interestingly, the Torah juxtaposes the parsha of Akedas Yitzchak and Misas Miriam. And Rashi quotes the Medrash explaining what is indeed the juxtaposition of ideas between the death of Sarah and Akedas Yitzchak. Lefisha al yedei besura so Akeda, when she heard the news of the Akeda, that her son was set to be slaughtered. Parcha nishmasa mimena umesa, her soul went up and she died. But yet, when Avram was given this commandment, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, he got up in the morning, Vayachavoshes Chamoro, Ava Mikalkelis says Ashura, typically someone else would saddle his donkey, but he was so excited to fulfill this great mitzvah. He did it himself. Why, when Sarah heard this, she died? And when Avram heard this, he was ecstatic. And to compound the question, the Medrash tells us that Sarah was even a greater prophetess than Avram. Shehoy Avram tofel l'Sarah b'nevius. Sarah was in a higher madrega. One would have thought that when she heard that her son was destined to be a karbon, the Fnei Hashem, she would have been enthusiastic. She would have been ecstatic. Instead, she heard it and she dies. Avram Avinu, who wasn't as great as Sarah, he hears it and he's ecstatic. What indeed is the difference? Why did Sarah react the way she did and Avram the way he did? Rav Chaim Shmulevitz tells us that the reason why Avram Avinu was able to handle and to accomplish and to achieve and to ultimately bring up his son as a karban, Avram Avinu hechnisu HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'toch ha-nisayon at-at. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Avram Avinu was able to bring up his son to fulfill this trial in stages. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and told Avram, Kach no'es bincha, take your son. Avram Avinu had time to adjust. He had time to ponder. He had time to think about it. Hare lanu she'ilu gila HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have revealed to Avram mitchila, initially, shehu mevakesh mimenu lokachas, that he wanted him specifically to take out Yitzchak as his son, as a karban, ha'isadaito nitrefes olav, he would not have been able to deal with it. He would never have been able to withstand this test, and his reaction would have been like Sarah Imenu. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, take as bincha. Well, which bincha? Which bincha? Yechidcha, your beloved one. Well, which beloved one? Asher Ahavta, the one you love. Well, I love them both. That's Yitzchak, Yitzchak. Every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, he did it la'ad, la'ad in stages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him as bincha. He had time to digest such an enormous request. It settled. And then Yesichidcha, more time to digest, and it settled. Asher Ahavta, even more time to digest, and then it settled. Uba'osen Ashehios, and all this time that he had time to digest, the Yachal Hul Hiskaber, and he was able to withstand his love for Yitzchak, Ulekabel Es HaMitzvah, to accept this mitzvah, B'minucha, with tranquility and serenity, Ubali irbuv das, and without confusion of mind. For Amad bin Isayon lahakriv, and he was able to withstand the test to bring his son Yitzchak as a karban for the sake of Hashem. But Sarah was not afforded that opportunity. It came upon her so quickly. Nisarev daito, her das became impacted, and ultimately she died. And I believe that is what is going on. That is how we're supposed to tell over the story. Leil Seder. The Rambam was the consummate Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Mi Moshe ad Moshe, lo kam ke Moshe. He understood what was necessary to allow the story to most impact the person who's hearing it. And if you want a story to be impactful, if you want something enormous to register, it has to be done in stages, gradually, a little bit at a time. And therefore, what the Rambam is teaching us is there aren't three types of children. There isn't a katan or a tipesh or a gadol or a chacham. But rather, every child begins the Seder as a katan or a tipesh, and the mesaper, the one who's telling over the story, is telling it over in stages, gradually. You know, my dear child, we were slaves. You know, like a slave, you've seen a shivcha or an evet. And on that night, Hashem redeemed us. He took us out to freedom. So now a child has an opportunity to ponder this. He starts out a katan or a tipesh. And as the night goes on, and he familiarizes himself with the awesomeness of Hashem, he graduates to a chacham v'gadol, and now we can tell him the enormity of the night. Then look what happened in Mitzrayim, v'nisim shenasu lanu ayde Moshe Rabbeinu. These great miracles and wonders that happened. If the Mesaper, the one telling over the story, would have just told him initially, great miracles and wonders, it would have been too overwhelming, too much to digest at once. And that is not an effective chinuch. You build up. You view your child as a minor, even if they're an elder, they're an adult. But the mesaper has to gradually build up to the story. First, we were redeemed. And then you continue on telling the story. And then you develop to something so great. And I have a raya, I have a proof. From the Lashon, from the words of the Rambam. First, the Rambam tells us that there's a katan o tipesh. You're talking either to a katan, a child, or a fool. And then the Rambam says, Vim hoya haben gadol v'chacham. It should say, or if this child is a gadol o chacham, or a wise one. Like it does by katan o tipesh. So the answer is that no. You're talking to a child or a fool. And as the night continues, and you're telling over the story, and you're building up, you're developing the story, that now this child is graduating in his thought process. So he goes from a katan or tipesh to a gadol v'chacham. Now he's mature, he's sophisticated, he's wise. He's able to digest, internalize this very, very powerful, powerful story. And this, I believe, is the reason why the Haggadah mentions the statement of Ben Zoma. The Haggadah tells us, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harani k'ben shivim shana. I was like a 70-year-old man, and I didn't merit to say Yesiyas Mitzrayim Balelos until the drasha of Ben Zoma. Now, we really don't care about the pasuk of Laman Tiskor as Yom Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim. That's not the focus of the night. The focus of the night is not Zechiras Yesiyas Mitzrayim, but it's Sipur. So what is this doing here? The answer is that's a backdrop to remind us what happens to a person when they hear something too quickly. It can impact them negatively. They can lose their mind. They're not going to be able to register that which they're hearing or seeing. And where do we know this by? We know this by none other than Ben Zoma. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga tells us, Arba nechnasim lepardes. There are four that went into this pardes, this vineyard. It doesn't really mean a vineyard. It means that there were four people. There was Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, and Acher. They all went into an area of Torah that was very deep. They first did the pardes, the pshat, and they did the remez, and the drush, and the sod. But they weren't all prepared for the most esoteric parts of Torah. Really, Rabbi Akiva was the only one. Rabbi Akiva warned them, don't go more than you can handle, little at a time. And they didn't listen. Ben Azai died, and Acher went off the derech. Rabbi Akiva became the Gadol Hador, and Ben Zoma lost his mind. He didn't die, but he couldn't handle it. So all the Chachamim get together. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, they're sitting in Bnei Brak, and they're all discussing, how are we going to tell over this story? It's the first summit to figure out how we're going to go to our various communities and tell over the story. And then Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah comes and he says, it's very important that we tell it over in such a way where it's la'at, la'at. Because look at Ben Zoma. Yes, Ben Zoma. You know, the one who darshened the Montiskor, it's Yom Tzeiskol Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yomei Chayecha. Well, look what happened to Ben Zoma. He was amazing, a wonderful, brilliant person. But he lost his mind because he went too quickly. It has to be la'at la'at, a little bit at a time. If you want the story to register, and if you truly want that your children should understand the godless, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to give you an idea. There was a person that was sick in the hospital. And it's a student's wife. So I called up the hospital that she was going to be there over Shabbos. I called up the hospital and I asked if I can send some balloons. I said, two balloons, get well soon, feel better. And then I asked this woman if I can write a card. So I wrote, dear so-and-so, Hashem loves you very much. Hashem cares about you even more. Rabbi Cement. So she's writing. She gets it all down. And then I asked her, I said, you must be wondering, who is this Hashem? She says, actually, I am. Is it some type of secret admirer? So I told her, I said, hold on to your chair. What I'm about to tell you is going to change your life forever. Hashem is the creator of the world, master of the universe. And he cares about that person in room 712, bed A. She was dumbfounded. She never heard of this Hashem. And I told her, go look it up. Look up about Hashem. Study Hashem. Built it up in stages. Are you holding on to your chair? Let me tell you about this Hashem. 4 days later, I called her back. Called back this woman at the gift shop. It was the same woman. She remembered who I was. I remembered who she was. I said, did you look him up? She said, it absolutely did. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. When you build it up in stages, a little at a time, it's so much more effective, such a powerful, powerful story. And that is what the Rambam is teaching us. You gradually build up every child that comes to your Seder, he's a katan or a tipesh. Tell him that the Jewish people were redeemed. And as the night goes on, and the child becomes more comfortable with the story, to continue to add more to the story until he becomes a chacham v'gadol. And then modil mashi'ir alanu. Then you enlighten him. You tell him what happened to Mitzrayim. V'nisim shenasu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. So I want to suggest a second explanation as to why the Rambam feels that the most necessary way to tell over, or the way that you're mekayim the mitzvah, ketzah, the way you're mekayim the mitzvah, is to tell it over in stages, la'at la'at. You know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avraham Avinu and told him about the Bris Bein Habsarim, he said that your people are going to be persecuted. V'gamis hagoy don anochi. And I will also judge the nation that persecuted them. V'achar echein yetzu b'ruchosh kadol. And after, Kal Yisrael will leave with great wealth. Rashi quotes the Medrash and says that the word v'gam and also is coming to include in this bris, in this covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu, is not only referring to Golos Mitzrayim, but it's referring to all the other Golios, all the other exiles that Klal Yisrael would have to endure. Now, essentially, all the Golios, all the exiles are the same. They persecute us. They torture us. They kill our children. They take our wealth. They embitter our lives. Vayimaru es chayeyem ba'avod kasha. That is not only applicable to Mitzrayim, but that is every one of the Golios that Klal Yisrael has experienced. The Golios, the exiles might be the same, but the Geula, the redemption of Mitzrayim and all the other ones, is very different. The redemption of Mitzrayim was done b'chipazon, was done in a haste. My dear friends, that was not something to be proud of. You see, Klal Yisrael had to be redeemed in a haste because we were avaryonim. We were sinners. We were ovdei avodah zarah. Hayu behem namish shenishtaku b'tumo shel Mitzrayim. We were shakur, we were immersed in the impurity of Mitzrayim. Ad kedei kach, until the point that we reached the 49th level of Tumah. And therefore, says the Sukkas David, Huchrach sheyiyeh geulas chipazon. It was imperative that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out b'chipazon, in order shelo yishtaku b'shar hanun, in order that we should not be forever in Mitzrayim, on the 50th level of impurity. And that is why we do not mention, I believe, Bibhilu Yatzano Mitzrayim, that we left in a haste. Because leaving b'chipazon is not something we want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu about. We're malachim, we're princes, we're free people. We're here in our most beautiful, elegant kittel, in our most beautiful, luxurious furniture and diningware. Do we want to say, oh, by the way, God, you took us out in a haste because we were really bad people? That is not what we are interested in doing. And therefore, the minhag, I believe, of the Ashkenazim is not to talk about it, because we don't want to stir the pot. We don't want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu how terrible we once were. That's Geulas Mitzrayim, redemption of Egypt. But all the other Golios, all the other redemption, says Chazal, Shehageula tiye b'derech hateva, that Geula naturally, all the other Geulos, all the other redemptions, whether it's Paras and Madai, Yavan, Babel, whatever it is, Rome, Edom, Hine lotia hagaula biyom echad. It's not going to happen in one day. Rak telech im yirtza Hashem bahadarga la'ad la'ad. It's going to be a little bit at a time. Ad shetigmor bishlemus kol hagaula. Until it will be complete. Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim is focusing on Geulas Mitzrayim. The stanza of Avodim Hayinu is Geulas Mitzrayim. Do b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, Chayev Adam, we're obligated to view ourselves as Ki'ilu hu yotza Mitzrayim, is not referring to Mitzrayim, the Geulas Mitzrayim, but rather is referring to all the other galios, all the other geulos, all the other redemptions. Leil Seder, we're not only focusing on the exodus of Egypt, but in every generation we have our national galus, our national exile. And gradually HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem us. And I have a proof. Because we don't say Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayev Adam Liros as Atzmo Hu Yatzo Mitzrayim, that he's leaving Mitzrayim, but rather we say Ki'ilu, it's as if he's leaving Mitzrayim. Because there's only one time we're going to leave Mitzrayim or like Mitzrayim. Not as if. We should say Ve'ilu Lo Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avosenu Mitzrayim Ki'ilu Anu Uvanenu V'nei Banenu Mushu Badin L'Pair Mitzrayim. The answer is, Avodim Hayinu is talking about specifically Mitzrayim, and Bechol Dor V'Dor is focusing on all the other redemptions that Klal Yisrael will experience, which is La'ad La'ad, and therefore, this is not extra. Avodim Hayinu is focusing exclusively on Geulas Mitzrayim, and Bechol Dor V'Dor is in every generation, every other of the Geulos. We have to view ourselves like leaving Mitzrayim, meaning that we will be redeemed, but it won't be b'chipazon. It will be la'at la'at. And it isn't only referring to a national redemption, but also an individual redemption. We have to have patience. We might be standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, davening our Shmona Esrei's, davening for Parnasa, Refuah, Shiduchim, for whatever it is that's bothering us. And we all have things that are impacting us negatively. We daven before Hashem, and we turn to Hashem. We've been davening to you for years, and I don't see any redemption. B'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, a person has to view himself as if redemption will come, just like Egypt came, and we were redeemed. So ours is not Mitzrayim, but it's Ke'iluhu Mitzrayim. It's going to be a gradual process. But we can't have Yish. We can't despair. It has to be that it's built up over time. Leil Seder is not only about Mitzrayim, but it's about all the other national galios and geulos, and also our private, personal galos and geula as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not deaf to our tefillos, but rather it's just that b'derech hateva, every other geula is unlike Mitzrayim, where it's going to happen la'at la'at, a little bit at a time. We can't despair for our salvation. Amazingly. There was a young woman who's having a difficult time finding a shidduch. And all of her friends were already married with children. And Baruch Hashem, my wife and I, had the fortune of making this shidduch. But little does she know that geula for her, that redemption began 25 years ago when the chassan's father sent me a picture of my wife and I holding that chassan as a baby, as a newborn baby in the hospital, wrapped in the hospital sheets, that all newborn babies are given. That redemption for that young woman already began 25 years earlier, or 22 years earlier, however old they are. And it took years and years and years and years until he was ready. And we had to move from place A to place B. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was orchestrating all the pieces. We don't know. We don't see behind the scenes. Redemption, Yetzias Mitzrayim, is not the norm. That was extenuating circumstances because Klal Yisrael was on the 49th, soon to be 50th level of impurity. But every other redemption, Kodesh Baruch Hu was moving the pieces gradually until ultimately there will be a Geula Shlema, a complete redemption. We just have to have patience. Have a kosher Pesach. Thank you so much for coming in and listening. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to see the Geula Shlema. Mehera v'yameinu. Amen.